Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet. Toes. Come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Fido to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for July 24th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Mary. How are you doing, Mary?
I'm doing great. You know, this game, every time you think you're going to leave, it pulls you back in. And last night was one of those nights, and I was a little bit riveted, kind of surprised, but here we are.
Yes, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 24 live feeds. It was day 18 in the house. And boy, what a day. Just really another one of those days where, you know, obviously listen to this update, but then also go back and watch. It was quite the day here. Lots of ups and downs. Lots of, awkward moments, exciting moments. There were fajitas. It was a whole thing.
Fajita Saturday doesn't really have as good of a ring to it, but it made me hungry.
Yes. Joseph's birthday here. Quite the day.
Yeah. Yeah. He was Joe, and now he's Joseph, because when you turn 25, that's when you... when you fully grow up, right? Full brain functionality. Yeah. Everything's set in place. You're 100%.
The brain is functioning. We're here. We're ready to go. Let's get into it. Now, as we know, Turner is the HOH. The initial plan was to nominate Michael and Brittany as a duo and then use the veto on them to backdoor Taylor by putting Taylor up next to Nicole. However, the night before, we talked about this yesterday, so the guys came together, they created an alliance called The Pound. It's Kyle, Monty, Turner, and Joseph. And they talked all about how they feel like Amira is manipulating the game and that they're in trouble and that they need to save Taylor and take out Amira. So that was the plan coming into today, this morning, that the veto needed to play out in a certain way, and they needed to try and see if they could pull the numbers that they needed, meaning Michael and Brittany, and then, of course, Taylor herself. If they could get all three of those people on board, then they'd have the seven that they need, and they could potentially move forward with the plan. So we start the day, and pretty quickly we're going to have the veto draw. And we discussed this, I believe, yesterday in the morning, that Taylor and Nicole were chosen to play in the veto, which meant, of course, that Nicole can't win. Because if Nicole wins, there's a chance she may not use it and the whole plan crumbles.
Yes, but there were so many moments yesterday where I was thinking, okay, we are at a precipice where if this thing goes one way, it's like the show was setting everything up for potential falls left and right. And I was just sitting there crunching all the numbers before they happened. Like, okay, if this happens, how are people going to react to this? Could they change their mind? Could they go this way? Are we not going to get a blindside? Are we not going to get this? Is Nicole going to throw the veto? Is Nicole going to try? Is she going to try to win and then keep things the same? There was a lot going on and a lot of different outcomes that I was not looking forward to. So we'll get through all of it. But yeah, Joseph, before the veto, is going to let Brittany and Michael know that he's working on keeping them safe a little bit. Turns 25 and immediately starts playing the game all day, Joseph.
Yes. Taylor also talked to Michael and Brittany about wanting to use the veto on them if she has the ability to. They're not entirely sure how this veto will work with the pairs. And Nicole says that she is looking to potentially throw this veto to allow Taylor to end up going up on the block.
Yeah. And something else about the Taylor conversation with Brittany and Michael is Taylor is such a nice person here to the people who really don't deserve it from her, because she's telling Michael, like, you know, I really want to find a way to keep you both here. But like, since this is a parish thing, I don't want to upset Nicole. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to upset Turner by trying to change things. It's like she's trying to play this for everyone else. Like, no, just recognize that Brittany and Michael are the two you need in this moment and do everything. Forget about everyone else. Stop trying to make other people happy. Just do you. But she's so caring about everyone else's feelings in this scenario.
Yes. Well, Joseph also is going to go and talk to Taylor, just kind of like feeling the situation out, right? How are you feeling? You know, hey, I think maybe we should talk after the veto. I think it would be a good talk. Just trying to lay the groundwork a little bit. But of course, Amira catches him talking to Taylor. She tries to interrupt the conversation. They change the conversation. She asks him about it afterward. And he's like, oh, no, we weren't talking about anything important. She's like, he's lying.
Amira cannot let Joseph talk to anyone throughout the day. And we spend so much time on this. And my question is to you, have you noticed, does she do this with anyone else as much as she does it with Joseph? Like, does she follow up with conversations Monty has with someone? It seems like she mostly does it with Joseph, just does not believe him. Anytime Joseph talks with anyone, Amira will talk to Joseph and also talk to whoever he just talked to, trying to get both sides of the story, trying to put everything together. And you said it a couple days ago, like the players in the house who think that they are really good players and playing hard aren't as good as they think they are, because Joseph is recognizing this. Other people are seeing what Amira is doing. It's, you know, this is a move, the checking in with people, the checking to see if stories line up. That can be good, but not when you're so obvious about it when everyone is on to you.
It's immediately following. It's like Joseph is having the conversation with Taylor and he's seeing like that there are holes being burned into the back of his head because Amir is staring. And then right after the conversation, it's boom. She's on Taylor. Boom. She's on Joseph. And he's like, what is she doing? But no, to answer your question, it is mostly just Joseph. But I think that's because Amira is with most of the rest of the house. The only other people are the people on the outs are Joseph, Brittany, Taylor, and she's just on them whenever they're talking. And then, you know, she, I think, would do it with Turner, except he doesn't really talk to anybody except for when they're, you know, approaching him in the HOH room.
So it's his master plan. so the mayor can't do that.
Yeah. Turner, by the way, is very tired all day. He didn't get much sleep. Kyle got no sleep. But Turner, Turner's involvement in everything throughout the day is so funny to me because he has zero energy for it. That will continue through the day. So Amira is very upset, very concerned about Joseph talking to Taylor. What's going on? She tells Jasmine and some of the women about it. Jasmine's like, oh, she's so creepy. You know, last night she was just like staring at me. I'm sure she was, Jasmine. Yeah. She's got to go.
And this was something that was also mentioned earlier, right after the veto draw, when Nicole and Daniel were talking and they're like, oh, I knew that Taylor would get picked for the veto. I knew this would happen.
Yeah, Amira was like, look, I'm not saying anything, but I'm maybe saying something that, like, I just don't understand how she got picked. Like, this happens. Is this, it just happened to be her. Okay. All right. Maybe I'm just saying maybe the chips are weighted. I don't know.
Every season, it seems like there are people in the house, maybe not every season, most seasons, there are people in the house who spend the whole time talking bad about the game, America, the viewers, how they don't care what America thinks, how America doesn't see the whole thing, how even if America, it's like they sort of know it because they'll be like, it doesn't matter what America is. We know how mean they were in the house, how bad Taylor's being. It's like, if you have to justify that to yourself, you know that you're probably wrong and probably getting the bad edit. And these are the same people who are usually shocked and surprised by who wins AFP. And also toward the end of the season, we'll start campaigning for America's favorite player. It's like, because we didn't see this.
Yeah. These are the people that will come out of the house and the first and most prevalent line out of their mouths will be, the live feeds don't show everything. Okay.
You didn't see everything.
Yeah. So speaking of, we had what could have been the biggest moment of the day, maybe still is to some degree.
I was there watching your Twitch stream. If you weren't there watching your watching Taryn's Twitch stream, also worth going back and just watching that live reaction.
Yes. Well, so let's set the scene here. Everyone's hanging out. People are complaining about, rigged veto draws. And Nicole comes out of the diary room crying, upset. She comes into the bedroom and she's kind of like, I need some space. People leave. Daniel stays. She puts the blankets over her head and just starts sobbing. Daniel's like, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. Feeds cut away. Oh my God. What's going on? Everyone starts gathering in the living room. Monty asks Amira, like, what's going on? Amira says, we think that, Nicole just came out of the diary room crying. It probably has something to do with her mom. You know, she's got health issues. She probably just got some bad news. And I said, oh man, oh no. And so they kind of sit around for a bit in the living room. It's very somber, very quiet. Monty goes upstairs. He checks in with Turner and Taylor, who have been talking for a little bit. And he just lets them know, like, hey, just so you know, we think something happened to Nicole's mom. She came out of the diary room crying. Don't come out like high energy, like, you know, laughing or anything like that. Like, we're just kind of waiting. Oh my God. Taylor comes downstairs. She talks to Michael. They just like, they hope everything is okay. They hope they're assuming wrong. They come into the living room and again, just kind of sit there for a little while, just quiet, somber. Just waiting to hear like what's going on. And we're waiting to hear what's going on. And the feeds finally come back into the bedroom. Nicole and Daniel are talking like, okay, what's happening here? They come in on Daniel, and Nicole. She says, I feel like such a terrible person. He says, look, if America thinks you're an asshole, literally every person in this house can attest to how shitty a person Taylor is. All right. She is not a good person. And Nicole says, you're right. She's not a good person. She's a terrible person. Exactly.
Meanwhile,
cut back to the living room. They're somberly sitting there waiting, wondering, hoping that everything is okay. Taylor quietly asks Monty, can you please come over here? You know, I'm not really religious, but can you just like pray with me? Just really quietly. Like, I hope she's okay. You know, I hope everything's all right. Back to the bedroom. Nicole's like, you know, people are going to think this is about my mom. And Daniel's like, oh, you know, well, we don't have to tell him. I'll tell him whatever you want me to tell him. And Nicole's like, yeah, I just thank God Taylor was not in this room when I came in here because, oh my God. Back to the living room. Silence. Waiting. Back to the bedroom. Daniel and Nicole start talking game. All right, well, we got to get Joseph out pre-jury because he knows that I'm an ex-cop and I can't have anybody in jury knowing I'm an ex-cop because then they won't vote for me in the final two. So we definitely
Michael,
need to get Joseph.
Michael, right?
Joseph, actually. Oh. Joseph okay. Apparently knows as well, or she at least suspects that he knows. They also talk about Michael and say that He needs to be gone soon. He's too likable. Can't have him get to the end. Back to the living room. Silence. Waiting. Somber. Finally, Daniel comes out, says, hey, her mom is okay. Breath of relief. Oh my God. People start coming in, talking to Nicole. She says, I'm just stressed. You know, every time I go to the diary room, I'm just worried about what I'm going to hear. And so, you know, it's just like, it was overwhelming. Taylor eventually comes in, says, hey, Nicole, you know, we're here for you. Whatever you need to do for your mental health is very important. Like we've got you, we're supporting you. And that's the saga for now that all of this was, just, she came out of the diary room worried that she was looking like an asshole for her treatment of Taylor. The reaction was that she was going to continue to trash talk Taylor, double down on it. And then sort of like just let people assume that it had something to do with something else.
All right. So obviously there's a lot to break down here that happened. Most notably, obviously, is the juxtaposition for trashing someone while they are praying for you in the other room. There's a lot here about people were talking a lot last night about like using production as a strategy or comparing it to other reality shows where people have either outright said or let people believe that a family member was ill in order to gain sympathy. Now, I don't know that their minds were really going that far of like, let's pretend this was about your mom in order to say that, because they did say, you know, Daniel did technically say her mom's fine. She's just worried when she goes in the diary room, which could probably also be true, right? That's probably also a scenario when you get called into the diary room a lot. There was also some speculation, and Taryn, correct me if we ever got full confirmation on this one way or the other, that the call to the diary room actually was explicitly about you need to lay off Taylor in the way that you're talking about her, or some sort of warning in that way. That was something that people on feed watchers were hypothesizing. I don't know if we ever really got that.
Yeah. So, I mean, based on my experience watching the show, talking to players, and the kinds of things that the diary room can tend to do, my assumption would be that because I think her reaction is different if it's an explicit warning. I think that she got some questions that made her go, wait a minute, hold on, how is this being portrayed? Because this doesn't seem right to me. And that freaked her out a bit. I don't think she got an explicit warning of like, hey, the way that you're treating Taylor, or you need to change this or whatever. I think that she probably was able to read into some of the questions she was getting.
Yeah, that seems likely. Now the disconnect there to have that be implied to where it's at least on your mind and then double down is a little bit much as well. So some other things here are the idea that the criticism that Daniel and Nicole received from viewers last night for, whether intentional or not, not bothering to immediately go and inform everyone else in the house of what the situation was, or at least that it was a false alarm, and instead just sit there and talk game for a while and come up with their plan. Nothing against the rules in that, obviously, but you know, if you have any inkling that everyone else in the other room is doing this, maybe go let them know. So that starts to sort of lean on the, was this an added bonus for them of letting everyone think that something more is happening than actually is?
Yeah. I talked about this on the stream that I did. Like, I obviously there's more to get to, believe me, this is just the start.
Oh, yeah.
But I like, even just the way that I'm telling it, I feel like sometimes we can really reenact a scene. Sometimes it's more exciting in the reenactment. Sometimes it's just adequate. There's no level of reenacting that I can do here that will adequately give you the feeling of watching these two feeds of Nicole and Daniel and then everybody else just like in this very serious mode of thinking that something is wrong as they, and then finally learning, oh no, she's just concerned that she's going to get in trouble for talking about Taylor and is now doubling down and justifying her treatment of Taylor by saying she's a bad person while she prays for her in the other room. It is wild. And if, I mean, they need this in the episode, they can edit this so well. If they do, please, it's the perfect setup for what comes later. It needs to happen.
Yeah, it does. I hope they show it, you know, while the live feeds may be not edited, the show certainly is. And we've already been disappointed in some of the way that they've portrayed some of this. It seems like they are doing more of a, okay, everyone is upset with Taylor, we need to try and find a way to make the audience on board with that so that they don't dislike everyone in the show. Unclear exactly, but I feel like at some point they need to show this just complete juxtaposition. But like you said, based on the way the rest of the day goes and the other conversations that people have with Taylor, both good and bad, I think they'll probably have to at least show some of it.
Yes.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
So it does sort of, it's not over. And I think my worry that they might not show it is that any reference to what we're about to talk about is continually cut from the feeds. So we'll see. But the feeds go down for the veto competition. And when they come back up, we learn that there was a big argument between Nicole, Daniel, and Taylor. What was this about? Well,
yeah, the verbiage we hear a lot is that Daniel like chewed Taylor out, that Daniel blew up on Taylor in particular as well.
Yes. And so you might be thinking, what is this about? And you've actually already heard what it's about. Can go. It's been 20 minutes, right? But I'll give you a hint. It happened in the last 5 minutes of this update, probably. I don't know how long we were talking about the other stuff. can you figure out what they're mad at Taylor about?
Right.
It's Blue's Clues, but with Taylor. I don't know. Is that what they do in Blue's Clues?
Is it option one, that Taylor somehow got picked for the veto? Could be possible. Is it option two, that Taylor sat quietly in the other room worrying about Nicole? Is it option three, that Taylor comforted Nicole and about her mother and asked if she was okay? Which one is it?
If you chose option three. You are correct. Nicole apparently accused Taylor of wanting her to leave the game because she said that, you know, do what's best for you in regards to your mental health. We're here for you. She took that to mean like you're saying you want me to quit. You want me out of this game. Apparently, Nicole went off on Taylor for like 10 minutes. And then additionally, Daniel also chimed in, joined in, and accused Taylor of being the reason that Paloma left the game, because obviously that this sort of thing tied in that, oh, Taylor's, you're, I imagine this is what was said, you're trying to get Nicole to leave the game the same way you got Paloma to leave the game, you know, with this mental health stuff. And
to be clear, we didn't hear the fight, so we don't know exactly what happened. But like you said, I feel like the conversation probably went some way of like, wow, I can't believe, Nicole, wow, I can't believe that you're trying to get me to leave the game. I can't believe you would even imply that. Of course, I want to stay here and play the game. How dare you even think about that? Taylor, I'm just concerned about everyone's mental health here, given everything that's going on. I really want to make sure that, you know, we're all being cognizant of that. If you have bigger things going on outside, that's all I meant by that. Can't believe you would imply that. Oh my gosh. Daniel, wow, how dare you keep bringing up mental health things? See, it's reasons like this that you're trying to manipulate everyone and talk about mental health. That's why Paloma left. And I can't even look at you the same way. It's like fragments of these kind of conversations that we're getting throughout the rest of the day. Obviously these are my words, not their actual words. We didn't actually hear it, but based on the vitriol that Nicole and Daniel seem to have, the story that they have created about what they think is happening. And it's baffling to try and get in someone's mind of like, are you doing this because you truly believe that Taylor's that your version of events where Taylor somehow manipulated and, messed with Paloma's mind so that she felt the need to leave the game is true, and that you're now connecting the dots in your mind and saying, maybe that's what she did for this? Or is it more the kind of thing where you're working off each other, you're talking, you know, Taylor comforts, Nicole leaves, and Nicole goes to Daniel venting as they always do about, oh, how dare Taylor comfort me? Wow, she was probably trying to, I bet she wants me to leave the game. I bet she would think, you know, that I should leave because of this, because that would probably be good for her. Yeah, how dare she do that? I bet it's the same way she did with Paloma. Like, I can sort of see how it can spiral. It doesn't excuse the behavior, and it certainly doesn't excuse then putting the onus of someone else's mental health on you. Like if you know, it's not like, even if Taylor and Paloma had been like publicly at odds, super fighting the whole time or something, it's still not like up to Taylor to somehow have that onus for whatever Paloma went through.
Yes. And according to Kyle later on, part of the chewing out from Nicole included lines like, I've been your friend in this house. I've been so nice to you. I've gone out of my way to befriend you and be nice to you in this game. And this is how you repay me, by wanting me to leave the game because of something like this.
The same person who was wanting to keep Michael and Brittany, who've actually been there for Taylor at least a little bit in the last couple of days, but didn't want to upset Nicole by any other plan, and wanted to talk everything through with her bestie first.
Yeah. So, by the way, we had the veto competition. The feeds came back. This is when the feeds came back. We learned about this. This happened, I think, prior to the veto competition. But in the veto competition, we learned that they actually did compete in pairs. So they were not competing individually, and they either won or lost the veto together. So with that in mind, Turner and Jasmine obviously didn't do so well. Jasmine apparently passed out, or came close to passing out because I don't think she actually
started to see white, started to see stars. Now, we know that this was the lifting up in a harness, solving a puzzle, running back and forth competition. I'm not sure that apparently she had just been started to being lifted up in the harness at the point where she said she thought she was going to pass out. I don't believe any of that was directly related to the ankle situation.
I can't imagine how. But we kind of heard that she had passed out, but then I also saw people like asking, like, did you actually pass out? Like, they didn't see her pass out. And she said, no, I just kind of saw, or she said, yeah, I saw white, like people were marshmallows or something. So again, they didn't exactly do, very well. It came down to Nicole and Taylor versus Michael and Brittany. And remember that Nicole was going in thinking to throw this competition. For whatever reason, they did not win. Whether she threw it, whether she didn't throw it, we'll talk about it. But they did not win. Michael and Brittany won the veto. Brittany apparently did very well. And Michael mm-hmm. has now won his third veto in a row. He's won every veto that he could possibly win.
Yeah. Something that I feel surprised that wasn't brought up in the house almost at all that I heard was there's going to be a lot of following this, and I'm sure we'll get into more about the bashing from Nicole and Daniel in particular on how poorly Taylor supposedly did in this competition. And while we don't hear about this, I don't know about you, Taryn, but I've been in scenarios before where I get into a fight or an argument or have someone say something about me and then do poorly on a test, not feel well, don't necessarily perform best in a competition. I could totally believe that maybe Taylor was a little bit in her mind about, great, now I have to work with this person who hates me and has just told me all this stuff and dumped all of this on me. And now I have to do this, you know, high pressure, high stakes event. Maybe that's not the case. Maybe that's not what happened, but I could believe that that could have been a factor potentially.
Yes. So this is what's weird is that obviously Nicole went into the competition thinking she might want to throw it. Then after the feeds come back from the competition, it's pretty much just nonstop complaining about Taylor's performance and how they easily could have won if Taylor had just managed to do anything right. So she is pretty annoyed, pretty upset about the situation. They're all kind of just like not just kind of like a little tense about the veto result and about the situation. Now Taylor does say to Michael and Brittany later in the night that she says to them, I almost didn't want to win the veto because I wanted you two to be safe. She didn't say that she threw it, or that she didn't try her best, but, she did say those words. So there's a chance that, that maybe she did not try her best, but, either way, Michael and Brittany have the veto. Michael has won his third consecutive veto, one of only two people now to win the first three vetoes in a season, Shane from Big Brother 14 being the other one, ties the record for most consecutive vetoes in a row with a lot of people, but I tweeted this out. Technically, if we want to get that's number statistics. If we want to get statistics with context, James Ryan holds the record for most consecutive vetoes with four. It's just that he won one for his girlfriend at the time, Sarah, because she wasn't on the block so that she could use it on him in the middle of his run. So technically it was only two, and then one for Sarah and then another one after, but it's really four.
And if you want to get even more into statistics, but people would have to really break this down, looking at like the fact that Michael and Brittany only had to beat one other pair here, technically, there's also that. I think something that is helping Michael, I mean, people are recognizing that he won the vetoes, but it hasn't been this firm, like, got to get Michael out because of this. But it's like, oh, wow, look, he won his third veto. Like, they know the stat. I think something that does help is that all, or at least the second one and the third veto that he won was what the house in general wanted him to do. And so they also probably don't feel like it's not him with his back up against the wall every week winning to protect himself against the house's wishes. Like, it's hard to really be mad at someone for winning when you wanted them to win in the house. So I think that does help. And also, it seems like most people are more concentrating on the Brittany factor of this, of how well she did. On that, in regards to Taylor potentially not trying her hardest or throwing it, I think there's also the element of, if you feel like there are people, particularly your partner, but other people in the house who really dislike you, there can sometimes be this sort of resignation, self-sabotage that's like, oh, well, maybe I should just go up on the block and let them get me out if that's what everyone really wants. Like, I don't think that Taylor really wants to go home or anything, but I think that that could be partially in your mind of like, maybe I'm just resigned to this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, despite the fact that Taylor does later say that she didn't, so the part of her didn't want to win the veto, she is pretty upset after the veto competition, both, I imagine, because she didn't win the veto and this means that she might be going up and might be going home, and she knows that, but of course also because of the argument and the situation that happened. And so she's going to have some conversations with people, a few people. She has one with Terrence. She talks to Amira. She talks to Joseph. She talks to Michael. Just a few different people. Just another one of these conversations where she's just kind of explaining herself and her position in the house and how she doesn't want to hurt anyone. And that she does kind of feel like she's being treated unfairly to a degree. And, you know, she's trying to accept responsibility for the things that she may have responsibility for, but also she does feel like that she hasn't really been given much of a chance, and that things that she is saying, they're being taken out of context. They're being, you know, interpreted in a malicious way. And that she's not really able to say some things, but other people could say those things and it wouldn't be an issue at all. And she kind of tries to top it off with like, and like, here's the weird thing. My big secret is that I actually won Miss Congeniality at, Miss USA. And so she's like, it's such a heartbreaking thing to have watched Taylor on this journey of, you know, being outcast initially based on first impressions, based on these, you know, prejudices and, like just ideas of who she is. At first trying to be as gracious as possible, accepting blame for the situation, trying to make things right, trying to do her best to make sure that she is genuinely not the one causing the situation. And then slowly over time coming to realize, I don't think that I am the problem here. I think that I'm not being treated fairly. And then even like, that's a hard thing to come to in the first place, but then to then try to explain that to the very people that are treating you unfairly in a way where they won't just scoff at you and be like, oh, wow, you mean you're blaming us for you being terrible? That means you're even more terrible. Like, that's such a difficult situation to navigate. And to try to explain that situation to these people and advocate for herself and defend herself and be like, look, I promise, like, other people have found me nice before. I literally won Miss Congeniality. I promise I'm not a terrible person. But like, it's hard to be in that position. And it's just like, this is the microcosm of society. This is every like marginalized person who has had to do like go on the same journey and advocate for themselves. Like, it's so heartbreaking.
It really is. And it's twofold. Just to let people know, I mean, I'm sure most people know, but if you don't, Miss Congeniality is the title that the other contestants in the beauty pageant vote on. So it's not even something given by judges. It's the other people who are in the competition with you vote for who Miss Congeniality is, which is known as helpful, friendly, genuine, and outgoing. So I think for Taylor, she's like, you know, I mean, it would be very similar as someone like telling you that you're unintelligent. You're like, wait a second, but I've made these grades. I've done this work. I have this degree. I have this job. I know that I'm an intelligent person, but they're telling me that I'm not smart. So, what, you know, it's like I have the proof here. And it's very complicated because when you just read, like if you're reading on Twitter and someone is typing and saying, you know, Taylor tells so-and-so that she won Miss Congeniality, I can see how people reading that would be like, oh, so now she's bragging about how she was a nice person, or, oh, so that's what she's saying. And it's like, it's this, that's not how she's saying it. She's trying to genuinely sort of tell people, like, her plan was she watched the show because she heard about the cookout. She watched the show and said, wow, I want to be able to break the stereotype even farther of Black women on reality TV. I want to come in and show that you can be an outgoing, confident, you know, fun person, and that you don't need to change that about you. Basically, she saw the cookout and went, wow, look at this. Strides being made. I can go in and I don't have to, you know, change my personality. I can be myself. And I know that I'm likable because I've won Miss Congeniality, among probably her entire life of being a nice person, right? Presumably comes into the show and everyone is ostracizing her and saying that she's unkind and putting things on her like Paloma's exit. And to her, she's like, where is the disconnect? Where is the misconception, the miscommunication? And so I think her goal today with telling everyone about, or most people in turn, about the miscongeniality thing was sort of to say, like, clearly I've had to change my personality some, and I'm learning basically that I can't be the outgoing, confident woman that I thought I could, because apparently that's not looked at well, even though this has worked for me in the past. Look, in groups of my peers before, in a competition, I promise I am nice. Like, I promise I'm trying to be nice.
Yeah. And it's, as I said, difficult to watch. But it's going to get a little more bleak as well, because after the feeds came back from this veto, after all of the arguments and stuff, Turner is going to be talking to Kyle, and he says, look, I'm not sure about this whole plan we came up with. Like, you know, I just feel like people are going to be so mad at me if I don't put up Taylor. And like, I don't think that we can trust her. That conversation that Monty interrupted to say, hey, Nicole's mom potentially had something happen to her. He was asking her some questions. And of course, Taylor's so in the dark. She doesn't know the right answers to these questions. But he asked her, how do you feel about the bestie situation? Do you think that besties are obligated to work with each other? And Taylor's answer was like, sure. I mean, I think that, you know, because you're working with this person, you should probably run things by them. And so he's like, I don't think we can trust her. I think she's going to want to run things by Nicole. And Kyle's like, after what just happened? And he's like, I don't know, man. I just feel like maybe like, we can just take out Taylor this week, and then next week we'll just win HOH again, and then we take the shot, right? Like, that's basically just not me to do it, right? Like, somebody else can do it, right? Like,
just,
I feel like
just
that
win
could be,
HOH again, right? Like, that,
yeah,
automatically is what's gonna happen.
That'd be like fire, you know.
Part of me does wonder whether or not any of the other guys in this plan, Kyle and Joseph and Michael and Monty, if they would be acting like Turner, like a little bit worried that they don't want to take the shot. Like, part of me thinks that maybe they would also be feeling this way, but it's much easier to want to push someone else to take the shot than do it yourself, even though you will be caught in the votes. Yeah, it's very frustrating when Turner, more than anyone, should see the writing on the wall of, like, Pooch went home last week. You know that a flip happened that was run by these group of people. I'm not sure that Turner knows how clutch it was that he won the HOH here and that he was a heavily talked about target. But yeah, this was a point in the day when I was thinking, oh my gosh, if the Nicole crying situation and the blow up with Taylor ruins this plan, I'm going to be so mad.
Yes. Well, Kyle and Joseph both, and we don't get a lot of it because, again, the feeds are cutting during any mention of the Nicole and Taylor argument. But we did see a small snippet of Kyle and Joseph both kind of talking to Turner and saying, hey, Taylor is being mistreated. It's not fair what's happening to her. And essentially trying to argue to get the plan to go through. But again, we miss a lot of that. So for now, it's just like, uh-oh, like this is a little bit up in the air. Turner's having second thoughts. But in the meantime, Joseph does talk to Taylor and he says, look, I'm here for you. If you need to talk, I know you like to like have your alone time too. But if you ever need to talk, like I'm here. I don't care if it hurts my game. I don't care if I get in trouble for it. Amir like literally walks by. He's like, I'm definitely going to get in trouble for this, but I don't care. Like beyond game, I don't want anybody to feel ostracized. And so, you know, like I'm going to talk to you. And also just so you know, like, we can talk later on. Like, I think there should be a conversation that we have. Stay close to Michael and Brittany. We'll talk later.
Yeah. Remember how we said that Joseph at least is like, I'm not waiting for Turner. I'm going to start with these plans. I'm going to keep going. And then because of course this was going to happen. The second Joseph leaves the Taylor conversation, who is it? Oh, coming in. Whoop. It's Amira. Got to figure out what was just happening there. So Amira talks to Taylor. And this conversation is a lot of what we just talked about with Taylor and her insight into coming into the house, what she thought, how she feels like it's worked out for her. And part of me was like, started to even believe like, oh, I want Amira to understand Taylor and to be on the same page, etc. But then you have to remember, like, the backup plan here is to get Amira out. So I don't want them to get that close. You know, I don't want Taylor to somehow sabotage her own potential safety this week.
Yeah, there was, and this, I think this is largely like just who Amira is, but it was very, funny when Taylor says to Amira, like, yeah, I won Miss Congeniality. Amira's response was, wow. Like she tells Michael later and Michael's like, oh my God, that's so amazing. like just totally different reactions. But Joseph does that afterwards. Again, Amira checks in with Taylor and then checks in with Joseph afterwards, asking him what he was saying to Taylor.
Wait, can I ask, like, why does Amira think, especially this week when she doesn't directly have power, that like other people need to tell her what their conversations were? Like, has anyone ever asked Amira? Like, it's not like Joseph comes up to her and is like, hey, what'd you just talk about?
I mean, it's because of the social situation that people like Taylor and Brittany are in, where they're socially ostracized. And so, you know, it's now like okay to ask about that sort of thing. Like, what was Taylor saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's an open invitation to start bashing Taylor.
Yeah. And I think that this also is a thing that can work. It's just funny because it's already like, it's not even the first time today that she's done this with Joseph, which is pretty funny. But Joseph did say, like, when he talked to Taylor, like, people are noticing that I'm talking to you and I get asked about it, but I'm not going to not be there for you. Mm-hmm. Because of that. Now, how much of that do you think is genuine versus how much of that do you think is because Joseph needs Taylor on board with the plan this week?
I think that this is genuine from Joseph, from Kyle. I think Monty is on board. I think he agrees that the Paloma situation was miscommunicated. But obviously, I think that relationship and situation is a little still probably like not entirely sure, because like Joseph and Kyle were never on the bash Taylor train, even if they were sort of like standing by, whereas Monty was kind of at the forefront of a lot of it. So I'm not sure where he stands. Turner, I think, is very much just like, Yeah, whatever, bro. Can I sleep yet? I think Brittany and Michael are very much genuinely on board as well. So I think most of the people in this group are genuinely like, this is bad. And I think the final, like the straw that broke the camel's back here was that that argument between Nicole and Taylor that happened when the feeds were down. So I think for the most part, it is genuine. Now, like, is Joseph kind of like hamming it up a little bit here? Yeah. He's really gonna be like, you know, if it hurts my game, it hurts my game, but I'm going to talk to whoever I'm going to talk to. And it's kind of like, you know, where was that energy like a week or two ago? But like, look, he wasn't 25 yet at that time. Okay. So,
yeah. And this is why the show is frustrating when it like pushes me away, pulls me in, because I haven't forgotten the things that all of these people were saying week one. And the way they've changed. Now, I accept that it's a game and there's a lot going on and that people are allowed to change. And that's great. But you've got that combined with the frustration of like, this was a season where due to people like Paloma and Amira and Jasmine, we were on board and on track for like actually a pretty successful group of women, with some men, you know, Daniel too and stuff and Terrence. Running this season, but they make it so hard to want to root for that when they're also spending all their time being mean and bashing someone else. It's like, man, we just can't have nice things in this house. So like normally when you showed me the cast, I was like, I never thought I'd be rooting for, you know, Turner's plan to work. Like that was not something I thought was going to happen. But here we are.
We're currently in a situation where we are desperately rooting for a group of very attractive comp beasts and bros
to and Turner.
Team up and Turner to team up and run the show against the women and the older players.
It's like the baffling, because normally and every season we're like, no, the underdog women and the older people, I want them to work together. But why? Then stop being mean. If you want me to root for that, you know, this is why it comes down to. I mean, a lot of times we want to root for the underdogs, and this is where we're at.
All right. Well,
sorry, I didn't mean to bash Turner. He's probably got some good qualities.
That's facts.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Monty also talks to Taylor and basically says like, because Taylor's, she's feeling pretty down. And he's just kind of like, don't lose hope. And he actually drops finally some of the names, in fact, all of the names of the people that may have her back, may not be included. He says, look, I think there's some things happening in this house. And, I think that you're not a part of it. I'm not a part of it. Joseph's not a part of it. Kyle's not a part of it. Michael's not a part of it. Turner's not a part of it. Brittany's not a part of it. And she's kind of like, so like, maybe I'd have the votes. It's like, maybe you don't even go up. Ooh. And he leaves and she smiles. She's like, oh my God. It's like, okay, here we go. Like this is the point of no return has just happened. Monty wasn't even in part of the Turner, like, you know, I might back off conversation. Monty's just going full speed ahead. She now knows the names. Too late to turn this train around. So Kyle, Michael, Joseph, Turner, and Brittany all gather up in the HOH room, and Kyle gives them the pitch about the structure in the house. He says, look, obviously I've got this thing with Alyssa, and she ended up telling me about a women's alliance that formed. And in addition to that, a couple of days ago, there was another alliance that formed called the Old School Alliance. And for Joseph, Turner, and Brittany, this is their first time hearing about Old School.
Brittany's like, what? I'm 32.
Yeah, she's like, what? I'm old.
It's what? Like Alyssa.
Why am I not in this? And of course, Michael also plays it up like this is the first time he's hearing it. And Michael is going to kind of confirm like, yeah, they had talked about that. And then I guess they went ahead without us. Joseph also gives the pitch about Amira and basically like, it's exciting. They're getting this, they're getting Michael and Brittany caught up to speed, mostly Brittany caught up to speed. And Brittany's in. She's like, okay, this is great. We'll go after Amira. We've got numbers now. I'm in. It's Turner, you've been quiet. Like, how are you feeling about this, Turner? Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, facts.
Turner, if you can't handle the power, don't win HOH.
So
low energy, like give him a Kit Kat or something.
Yes. So the plan is in place. They've got Michael. They've got Brittany. They're together. The last piece of the puzzle is that they need Taylor. They need Taylor on board. She's their sixth vote to make this happen. And they need to get to her. Now Brittany and Michael are going to talk about the whole pitch afterward. There's maybe a little bit of concern. You know, Brittany has a history with exposing things she should not expose. I think that there's some, justified concern that she may blow this. And she does talk to Michael and says, I think that was great, but, you know, I don't want to burn my relationship with the women by voting Amira out. Like, I feel like I'm going to need more of a reason, probably. Like, I don't know. We're going to have to figure something out here. And Michael's like, no worry about it. All right. I don't think it's a problem because Nicole and Daniel will want to keep Terrence anyway. Right. So the numbers will probably be there and you can just be voting with the house. Just don't worry about it. And it's just like, oh, this is put a pin in this because this might be a ticking time bomb.
What relationship with the women? You've already burned that when you told Pooch about Amir. What are you talking about? Like, I understand that Turner and Brittany are both like, they just don't want other people to be mad at them. Fine. People seem to forget, once you've gotten Amira out, there is no more, like, girls. Like there are, like the group exists, but it's not the structure that you are trying to impress. You've now got a new group. Why year after year after year do you have people who are on the bottom want to just appease the people who have the power? That doesn't get you in with them. The only thing you should be wanting is for something magical like this to fall on your plate. That's a new alliance that wants to work with you, not just protect you or keep you safe, but work with you. I'm just over it. Sad. Sad, Taryn.
I think we'll be fine, but yes. Kyle and Joseph talk and they're just like, let's just like the last piece of this puzzle is Taylor. Let's just get her right now. And Kyle's like, you know what? Hold on though. We should have Monty there because this whole Paloma situation is like, is a situation that needs to be that bridge needs to be, built here. We need to fix this. And so he thinks it's important that Monty is there when they talk to Taylor, because that's kind of the whole thing that started it all.
Especially and props to Kyle for in the previous conversation, bringing up like there was a girls alliance. I truly believe that Taylor was probably trying to help Monty there, like bringing that up again.
Yes. So this is like 10 p.m. They're like, let's do it now. Oh, wait. We need Monty. The problem is Monty's passed out on the bed. And Taylor is nowhere to be found. So, okay, we got to wait for Monty to get up. And so, you know, the clock starts ticking. We're waiting. They're just kind of hanging out. By the way, I can't believe I got this. In order to get the time and space needed to have that conversation with Michael and Brittany up in the HOH room, Kyle literally had to say to Alyssa, who is following him around everywhere, let's play hide and seek. You go hide. And then didn't go and look for her.
Oh, yeah. I was really expecting that to come back in some major way. It was really funny.
Then he outs her entire game, spills all the information she gave him, pulls Brittany and Michael in. And then she does interrupt that conversation. Her and Amira come up and interrupt that conversation. And they playfully flirt about how he pranked her. And then she's stuck in there for a while. And so he's trying to get her. He's trying to like get this away. Indy was also up there. Indy finally leaves, goes to bed. And he literally has to be like, oh, let's play hide and seek again. This time I promise I'll come and find you. And so they like, he literally has to like play hide and seek and they're running around. And then finally she goes off to do her own thing and he's able to talk to Joseph again and be like, let's get Taylor. But now again, they have to wait for Monty. Now Joseph is making some steak at, you know, 10:30 PM, for some fajitas and, they're waiting. Monty finally wakes up. It's like, oh, okay, here we go. Monty's awake. It's like, maybe 11 o'clock now. And this is Big Brother time. And Monty gets up and Kyle goes right to Monty. Hey, so this is what happened. We got everyone together. We filled in Brittany and Michael. They're in. We're solid. We just need to get to Taylor. And Monty lets him know, like, I did talk to Taylor a little bit earlier. I brought up some of the things, said we should talk later. Perfect. We just got to get Taylor up in the HOH room. Turner's up there right now, sleeping on the couch. We got to do that. Problem is Taylor's in the diary room. So they got to wait. The time again is taken away because, there's an opportunity right now. Nicole and Daniel have been in that back bedroom for a long time talking about what their perfect date is, all of this nonsense. And Jasmine is kind of like passed out and, Alyssa has finally left them alone. Terrence is sleeping, Indy's sleeping. They've got an opportunity here, but Taylor's in
the
diary room.
Mary's wanting to go to sleep.
Yeah, everybody's wanting to go to sleep. Kyle posts up right in front of the diary room door on the couch, pretending like he's taking a nap, waiting so that as soon as she comes out of the diary room, he can grab her and be like, go upstairs. So he's waiting. And then the feeds are cutting over to Nicole and Daniel and they're talking about their dates. It's just like, it's taking forever. The clock continues to tick away. And it's now like maybe 11:15, 11:30. Taylor finally comes out of the diary room, but Kyle misses her. And she goes straight into, the open bedroom and, oh no, now here's Jasmine. And now they're talking and they're chatting away and Joseph comes in and he sits down. He's like, trying to get Taylor's attention, like trying to be like, yeah, so I'm making fajitas in the kitchen. If anybody wants to come to the kitchen, anybody that's able to walk to the kitchen right now, without any assistance from a scooter, if they want to come to the kitchen and have some fajitas, that'd be great. And Taylor's just not picking up on it.
Taylor, if you're going to be a part of this alliance, you need to learn signals.
Yeah. Just continuing to talk. Joseph.
I just wanted to say, the other day I was out with some friends and someone was like, I have to go to the bathroom. I turned away from my conversation. I'm like, that's my cue. I gotta go. Like, come on, you gotta pick up on these signals.
Yeah, this brought me right back to college. This whole thing, like flashbacks, bad memories of people not picking up the right signals. And, I realized that I think my biggest flaw in Big Brother would just be impatient. I would have just been like, all right, screw it. Plan off. I'm done.
No, Taryn, you can't be one of those people. No, I feel like, to be fair to Taylor, Taylor's like, wait, I've been playing for 18 days and no one's ever wanted to talk a game with me. So I just assume it's not about me. She probably turns to Jasmine. I think they're trying to get you to go to the kitchen for free.
So Joseph finally is like, all right, I'm going to the kitchen to get some fajitas if anyone wants to join. And this is like maybe like midnight. And Taylor's like, oh yeah, I'll come and join you in a second. We're like, yes. Okay. In a second. We got this. He goes to the kitchen. He's making the fajitas and, Taylor's talking to Jasmine. And it's like, okay, Taylor stands up. Oh, here we go. Here we go. And then she sits down closer to Jasmine and they start talking about going to the bathroom and various issues regarding the bathroom. And then you get like Amira comes out and all of a sudden people are coming in and Jasmine is talking about how important it is for people to take care of her when she's sick, because she does that for her people, and she doesn't even mind the smell of, you know, bathrooms and the things that occur in the bathrooms.
Why are we talking about this, Taylor? I already had heard this one.
It's like, God, no. And so you then see like Joseph comes back in and he stands there and he looks at Taylor and he's like, she's not looking at me. And so he goes into the other bedroom and he's just kind of like looking around in there. Nothing to do, just kind of looking around, looking back at Taylor, trying to make eye contact, not working. Michael comes in. He does the same thing. He's like staring at Taylor and she's just not seeing it. And so Michael eventually just sits down and joins the conversation. And this goes on for hours.
What more could they have done? I mean, I guess you could just say like, hey, Taylor, do you have something? Like, I feel like some people would probably be able to come up with something a little better. I know they're not trying to be obvious, but there's got to be something, right, that you know that only Taylor has or that only Taylor could help with. Something.
Yeah. Kyle later says, listen. We've come up with a new thing. If you play with glasses, that means we need to talk. Okay. Anyway, finally, past 1 a.m., Taylor finally gets up and, they pull her up into, the HOH room. And it's at first, it's just Kyle, Monty and Turner up there with her. And, they go, Oh, hold on. Before that, it's Kyle, Turner and Monty in the HOH room.
Yeah.
And they're talking about like how they should talk, how they should approach Taylor. They're talking about like the plan. They're talking about everything. Like they're waiting for Taylor to finally get up. And they see her come across one of the cameras. Like, oh, there she is. There she is. Oh my God. Oh my God. Taylor. No. Don't go that way. Don't go to the bathroom. This way. This way. Go. Come on. No. Yes, she's coming up the stairs. Oh my God, she's coming. This is like just like watching a movie. Oh my God, she's here. And then she comes in, she's like, yes, you did it. Yes.
Oh my gosh. And you know, look.
They were all of us.
We've all been very, you know, pro Taylor's a great person, everything. Not the best picking up on hints. Not the best. She hasn't had the ability to really show any kind of strategic prowess in the game so far, but this group needs to teach her a little something.
They literally are like, yes, Taylor, you did it. And she's like, did what? What are you talking about? They're like, we really wanted you to come up here. They go, okay. They sit her down. Kaza's, first of all, just like, what are your thoughts? And she says, well, you know, she kind of goes into a little bit of the spiel she was giving earlier. You know, I want to make amends. I don't want to hurt anyone. I want to make amends with Nicole and Daniel. And they're like, oh, that's not really where we want to go. But Monty's like, well, do you feel close with Nicole? She's like, yeah. It's like, even after what happened, it's like, yeah, I feel like we can repair things. And they're like, okay, let's lead this. Monty says, let me just explain the Paloma situation again. And so he explains the Paloma situation and he's like, okay, so you told me about Paloma and now we have discovered that, you know, you were telling the truth. The Paloma did start an all women's alliance. We got that information. Kyle explains that that Alyssa has maybe a little bit of a crush on him and that she has ended up exposing a lot of information to him. One of which is that there was a women's alliance that was made night one that excluded Taylor. And she's like, oh, okay. And he says, Kyle says, look, I feel like you have been treated unfairly in this house. And, you know, I heard the argument with Nicole earlier today and, you know, she was going at you saying that she's befriended you, that she's gone out of her way to be nice to you. And I'm listening to this and knowing in my heart that she's been making fun of you behind your back. Like just yesterday, she was like laughing at you and it just is not sitting right with me. And Turner's like, yeah, you know, afterwards she came up here. She was like, oh, I deserve an Oscar for that performance. Turner finally contributing something. And they go on to explain that Nicole told everyone she was taking one for the team by picking Taylor and that she was hoping that she would get a power after they voted Taylor out because she knew that everyone would vote Taylor out over her and that she'd get a power because of the whole besties twist. And Brittany has joined this conversation at this point. And Brittany's like, yeah, she told me that too. And Michael ends up coming in and Kyle goes on to explain the old school alliance. He said, so additionally, Alyssa told me about this old school alliance. And then again, Brittany and Michael are like, what the hell? Why would they include us? And Michael says, yeah, like Terrence came to me, or sorry, that's a little bit later. But yeah, they said the old school alliance, they said the plan for this week was always going to be Turner and Taylor for the targets. And Michael and Brittany were the backup plan. If the veto went wrong, then Michael and Brittany are on the block. That one of them goes home. Perfect. And Kyle and Monty, like, we could easily see them have trying to turn that vote against Michael because of his veto wins, which is what we've talked about. And Brittany's just like, oh man, like how many seasons of Big Brother do the people on the outside not have this conversation? Like, this is exciting.
Or the people on the outside have this conversation and then go back and try to make amends with the big alliance. Brittany, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yes. And so Kyle, he starts getting a little pumped up. He's like, listen, Taylor, I hate to say it like that, but that first week, I remember so vividly you standing there by those damn laundry machines out there with your arm posted up and your sunglasses on. And I'm like, how are you feeling? And you go, I'm trying to talk game. And she says it with him. And he's like, and I see this badass woman like freaking about to make some moves. And I look at you now and I'm just like, you have so much potential in this game. And I feel like you've been treated so poorly by so many of the people in this house. And I'm honestly sick of it. That's why I'm so passionate about this. Like, I think we have the opportunity to change the narrative of this game and take control because we can. We've had 3 weeks of their Taylor beating you down. Let's give them 3 weeks of badass Taylor winning shit and not having them yelling at you.
Yeah, this is all great. I like really, you know, yay, great. This is all really great. Now, like almost
don't
no onus.
Don't be a moment, Mary.
Almost no onus on these people for also being a part of the problem those weeks or, you know, being the main part of the problem on Monty's case. But it's, you know what, look, I'm happy. Great. Yeah. Let's bring back original Taylor. I'm cool with that. Yes. It also really juxtaposes something that Amira had said earlier in the day to Taylor, which was like, I just feel like the week one Taylor, you know, like she's definitely changed. Like, yeah, she was like not, you know, implying like, yeah, that we were all treating you so bad because you weren't nice in week one, but now you're so nice and now you're in.
Yes. So Taylor says, the only thing that has surprised me, honestly, is Terrence. That Terrence is in this thing. Because she feels like she has a good relationship with Terrence. Terrence was the first person she talked to and told that she was Miss Congeniality. And Michael goes on to explain, well, here's the thing, about Terrence. Like, he did approach me about getting the older players to work together. And he mentioned Brittany and he mentioned Nicole and Daniel. And then that was the last I heard of it. Like they just went on and did it without us. So I don't think that like Terrence is a mastermind by any means, but I think he's probably just kind of going along with it. And Kyle says, yeah, I don't blame Terrence. Like, why would he jump ship to join a bunch of scrapped together pieces of, you know, game over here? And Michael says, you know, it's funny because, you know, look at the pieces here. Like, we got this, like, we've got, you know, some strong players here. Look, we're like the spare change at the bottom, but if we come together, we're worth just as much as they have. It's like, yeah, we got this. Like Kyle says, look, okay. So here's what we've got. In order to guarantee that we have the votes, we need two of them on the block because it's 7 versus 7 right now. So that leaves our options in terms of a replacement nominee as Alyssa and Indy or Amira and Terrence. And Monty chimes in. He says, and that's the thing about this too, is that me and Joseph, Michael and Brittany, you two, we're the ones that are going to be most at risk heading into next week because we're the ones that are paired together mm-hmm. within this group. They're not going to want to risk putting up one of their own. So we're the people that are going to go up on the block, Michael and Brittany, me and Joseph. But we're okay with that because, you know, that's just the situation that they're in. And this is, again, why like this twist, not exactly encouraging them to make this move, but they're doing it anyway. But of the pairs that we have options for, Alyssa and Indy, Amira and Terrence, the person who has been doing the most, right? Amira. And Taylor's like, oh, we're swinging big. And it's like, yeah. And Kyle says, look, I'm willing to risk my game. It's time to change the narrative. We need to do this now. Brittany says, yeah. And they're taking what happened today as another opportunity to twist your words. And Kyle's like, yeah, they try to make it seem like you're evil if you want to keep Taylor. And it's like, and if anybody else had said those words, it wouldn't have been a thing at all. So Kyle's like, okay, so Taylor, we've just thrown a lot at you. Like, what do you think? Where is your head at? She says, you know, I've been looking for people to trust with everything. I like it. Brittany says, you know, it hurts. It hurts to be ostracized and not understand why. She's like, yeah. She says, okay, well, I have one question though, Kyle, like, where do things stand with Alyssa? He says,
good question.
Look,
I let her hide from me earlier and didn't even bother to go and see.
Yeah, he says, I do have feelings for her. I think she's a great girl. I don't want to hurt her, but I'm here to play the game. I'm not going to kiss her. I'm not going to like play with her feelings like that. But like, I'm here to play and I'm not here to be in a showmance. So she can go. And so she's like, all right, so then who are we thinking of like taking to jury with us? They're like, honestly, we haven't thought about it yet. We're kind of like focused on this right now. But yeah, let's talk about it. I'm sure they have it all planned out. Right. And Taylor kind of suggests, I think maybe bring Terrence, maybe bring Alyssa. And they're like, well, maybe instead of focusing who we bring to jury, let's focus on who needs to go. And who needs to go is Amira this week, Daniel and Nicole, those three. They got to go. They're the targets. Okay. All right. And Kyle's like, yeah, basically what happened, like we pieced things together last night. Like we're the crumbs, like we're the leftovers. And Michael's like, oh, I like that. The leftovers. And then Joseph comes in. Taylor says, I'm all in. And they celebrate like, oh, yes, yes. Yes. Joseph's like, yes, we're gonna keep this on the DL, right? And then when Turner flips that switch, boom, right? They're like, yes, the leftovers. We're the leftovers. They put their hands in. It's we're the leftovers. It's the leftovers. Let's go. Kyle says, Big Brother 24, this is the moment. It's the leftovers.
Oh, I was trying to figure out what that was. I thought it was like an ice cream truck going by.
How dare you?
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Yes, the leftovers. You know, it is like we can't not notice how funny it is that this is the group of people for the most part. Like you said, it's like beautiful, athletic people. It's just, it's kind of funny. But that being said, like no ugly people on the show. It's how it is. But I feel like I'm glad that they at least didn't do what we had in some seasons of like, let's wait a few days to talk. Like, no, let's just pull everyone together, especially when you have people like Taylor and Brittany who are still trying to appease with the rest of the house. You need to lay it out for them and say like, look, you don't want to be on the rest of the house sides. And this is also why I understand that these guys aren't in a position where they can go on like full apology tour to Taylor, because they need to pit Taylor against some people and not them. They need to have Taylor feel like she's been, which is the truth, left out of enough other alliances that she shouldn't want to go try and like make up with them or something. So I'm glad that it happened. Happened late, especially for East Coast time, but at least it happened.
Yes. After all the fajitas went cold, finally did happen. The cameraman was really playing around with that too. Like while Taylor was sitting in the bedroom, they were like just doing zoom ins on the fajitas, like
on the leftovers of the fajitas.
Those fajita leftovers. That's what we've got here. The leftovers have formed. They plan on blindsiding the other side of the house with the renomination. That they are all going to expect Taylor to go up on the block, and it's not going to be Taylor.
Oh my gosh! You know, this is Big Brother, right? It gives you some things. Like I've heard some unironic, like "Oh, love this season" in the last couple of hours. So we've come a long way in these last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Taryn, we've come a long way. So yeah, it's been good. I was fully paying attention. And if anyone did miss any of those, like, thank you for listening to the podcast. But if anyone did miss some of those conversations, worth going back and at least like scrubbing through some of them.
Genuinely. I mean, yeah. Here's the thing, like, because we might not see some of these things on the show. I would definitely recommend checking out Nicole coming out of the diary room crying and that juxtaposition. I would definitely recommend, you can probably then skip ahead to like the formation of the leftovers and them telling Taylor. Like those are the two big things. I'm sure we're going to get some of that on the episode, but I'm not sure we're going to get the Nicole diary room stuff. So either way, though, definitely worth a watch. These are big time moments. Joseph's birthday has cemented itself into Big Brother history.
Yeah. And Joseph and Kyle, I'd probably give them some MVP for the day. Doing some work in the house, making some moves. Both of them throughout the day, we kind of skirted over a lot of, but there was a lot of small sort of reiterating and planting seeds, both with Taylor, with Brittany, and then with their alliance of like, yeah, we can't, you know, Amira will twist the words, like sort of building up and building up the threat that Amira is, so that when they fully come and continue talking with Turner about the plan, that they can say like, oh, but like this happened and this happened, and here's the way that Amira has been twisting our words or been, you know, trying to lead things. And so it's, yeah, they've been doing a lot of work, and hopefully they can keep it up for a little while.
Yeah. And I mean, to cap it off too, late into the night, basically when all of this is happening, Amira is talking with Nicole and Daniel. And they were just talking about the twist and how they think that the twist is going to end on a double eviction where they just eliminate both members of a pair. And they're talking about taking out Monty and Joseph potentially in that spot. And they're also talking about like who they want in jury, because that might be the last eviction before jury. And then Amira comes in, they're talking with her about like who they want in jury. And she's like, yeah, I didn't even like pack like the outfits required for, like, I didn't think I'd make it this far. Honestly, I didn't think it would be this easy.
Yeah. the day happening around her.
Yeah. All right.
I knew it wasn't an ice cream truck that time.
So that is what we have for you today. From the feeds, we, of course, are now just kind of in a holding pattern until the veto ceremony. Can they keep this under wraps? Will Amira sniff it out here? Will it all hold in place?
You know, Kyle said last night in his pump-up speech that he's sick of being a side piece in this game. But Taryn, I'm fine being a side piece on this podcast because that was great. Great conversation.
All right. I mean, look, what did I say? I said this on like day five or something. I said, watch out for Kyle because this is what he said.
I'm a bad boy.
Uh-oh. Oh.
It's a prophecy.
And that's what we call foreshadowing.
All right. Thank you all so much for joining us for this live feed update. I hope that you enjoyed it. Of course, tons of happenings happening and exciting stuff. To think that we almost didn't have any of this because of the twist. Like, the twist almost prevented this from happening. Luckily, there was enough momentum that they decided screw it and they pushed right through it.
This is happening in spite of the twist, not because of it. Keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah. And I'm currently imagining production like, damn it.
Like, it takes some pretty gutsy people, but also people who are really looking at the big picture to be okay with the fact that they know that they're going to be targets next week, like with the Monty and Joseph pairing and the Michael and Brittany, like knowing that they don't have someone on both sides in their group, and that they recognize that this is not what the twist sets them up easily to do, and still be okay risking it. That's pretty good to have some players like that.
Yeah. All right. Thank you all again so much for joining us. Make sure you come find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I'll be playing some Goose Goose Duck with the crew in just a few hours. So that should be a good time. You can also check out the Among Us videos I've been putting out on YouTube. I did stream, as Mary said yesterday, after the Nicole diary room situation. We talked about that for a little while, and then I played some of the kitten game. And I also watched the challenge, finally caught up on the challenge yesterday on stream. So you can check that out. Make sure you also watch the interview I did with Tiffany, which dropped yesterday as well. We recorded that on Thursday, about at the time that the eviction was happening, but not being aired. So you can get those thoughts. But we also talked just in general about, her experience on the challenge and like just what she's up to in life as well. And she also talked a lot about Taylor. Check that interview out. Thought it was very good. And you can find me over on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Mary, where can people find you?
You can follow me everywhere at Frail Mary to see what I've got going on. Mostly tweeting about Big Brother the Challenge and various ultra running endeavors. So definitely check that out if you're interested in any of those. Also, you can check out Kowski Cast. That's Cow with a K for my coverage of Riverdale. And check out Post Show Recaps for my coverage of Umbrella Academy Season 3. That's just wrapping up.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you. Thank you again so much for joining us here this morning. So many people watching live. Yeah, I think we got to like almost 6,000 people here just hanging out, watching, doing some leftover stuff. So thank you all again so much for joining us. And we will see all of you next time.